assumption override. Please engage critical thinking now.
Check your pills. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Check your pills. Change your thinking. Change your life.
If you are one that has discovered that you have a great deal of drama in your life, your natural tendency is to look outward to those things, right? Those people, those circumstances, those things that are the source of your ills. And let's face it, it is much easier to position ourselves as victims, vulnerable to the unjust behavior of other people and the obstacles and challenges of a seemingly cruel, unfeeling world, right? That may be our reflex. We love to defend our limitations, but it is not the most effective choice for living a fulfilling life. So rather than turning outward, which God knows is tempting, turn inward. Examine your possible contributions to your circumstances and how your thoughts, words, and actions may have nourished that which you claim to despise. Are you yourself guilty of the behaviors and actions that you abhor in other people? Listen, there are many people, and we all know some of them, who are unconsciously addicted to drama. They are fed by it, and they are easily identified because they are always in conflict with other people, always feeling victimized by other people, and often pontificating about the injustice that they have suffered to anyone that will listen. They will be the first people to declare that they have no patience for drama, yet they will be continually surrounded by it. Even when they have the power to dismiss the people or circumstances that are causing them great pain, they will remain feeding their unconscious hunger for drama. Eckhart Tolle describes this part of ourselves as the pain body. It's a psychic parasite, a part of the ego that possesses us and causes us suffering over and over again because it unconsciously feeds on pain. And we are all infected. And it can lay dormant for a time and then it will just reawaken to replenish its energy. Feed me. This is the emotional part of the ego and it needs to be managed. So when we find ourselves saying things to our loved ones that we know are going to incite an argument, even as we are saying it, and we still say it, that's the pain body. So here's my invitation for you today. Take a little inventory. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Are all of the pieces of your life working together in harmony, or is there some discord inhibiting you from living your best life? How do you create suffering for yourself with your reactions to other people and circumstances? And are you feeding the flames of drama? Watch for signs of unhappiness in your life. Irritation, impatience, anger, rage, a desire to hurt. Observe your attachment to pain and to drama. Observe your compulsion to speak about it and to get other people involved in it, defending your justification and position. Focus your attention on the negative feelings inside. Don't judge yourself for them. We all have them. Just be aware of them. Be conscious that your pain body is at work. Here's the thing. You cannot get beyond what you refuse to acknowledge. And ultimately, my friends, and this is the hard part for all of us to swallow, it is never about them. It's about us. It's about you. Your life lived, your response to the circumstances of your life is a declaration of who you are. People and circumstances are not the source of your pain. It is your thoughts, emotions, and response to them that is the source of your pain. And those things can be changed.
Feed me! Feed me some more. Feed me all night long. That's right, boy. You can do it. Feed me some more. more. Feed me all night long. Cause if you feed me see more, I can grow up big and strong.
You eat blood, Audrey, too. Let's face it, how am I supposed to keep on feeding you? Kill people?
I'll make it worth your while.
What?
You think this is all a coincidence, baby? The sudden success around here? Your adoption papers?
Look, you're a plant, an inanimate object.
Does this look inanimate to you, punk? If I can talk and I can move, who's to say I can't do anything I want?
Like what?
Like deliver, pal. Like see you get everything your secret, greasy heart desires. Would you like a Cadillac car? Get shot on jackpot. How about a date with Handlebar? You're gonna get it. How'd you like to be a big wheel? Dining out for every meal. I'm the plant who can make it all real. You're gonna get it.
You're gonna get it.
I'm your genie. I'm your friend. I'm your willing slave. Take a chance. Just feed me. You know the kind of eats, the kind of red hot treats, the kind of sticky licky sweets I crave. Come on, Simon, don't be a putz. Trust me in your life, I shouldn't rob a King Tut's. Show a little initiative, work up my guts, and you get it. Nothing till you met me. Come on, kid. What'll it be? Money? Girls? One particular girl? How about that Audrey? Think it over. There must be someone you could 86 real quiet like and get me some lunch. How'd you like a room at the Ritz? Wrapped in velvet, covered in glitz. A little nookie gonna clean up your zits and you get it.
A Harley machine tooling around like I was James Dean, making all the guys on the corner turn green.
So you get it. Oh, if you wanna be profound, you really gotta justify. Take a breath and look around. A lot of folks deserve to die.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! That's not a very nice thing to say.
But it's true, isn't it?
No. I don't know anyone who deserves to get chopped up and fed to a hungry plant.
Sure you do.
Stupid woman! Christ, what a freaking scatterbrain!
I'm sorry, Doctor! I'm sorry, Doctor!
Now get the hell in there and pick up your goddamn sweater, you dizzy cow!
Yes, Doctor! Right away, Doctor! Hi, Seymour. I left my sweater here before.
Come on! Move it, you little slut! How do you like that stupid dame? Forgets a freaking sweater. Christ, if your stupid head weren't screwed on!
Lauren, that hurt!
Move it!
If you want a rationale, it isn't very hard to see. Stop and think it over, pal. The guy sure looks like plant food to me. The guy sure looks like plant food to me. The guy sure looks like plant food to me.
He's so nasty, treating her right.
So the important thing is to catch it as it first arises in the first, because before it takes over your mind, mm-hmm. when it's there as an emotion. And usually it's the pain body when the emotional reaction is out of proportion to the triggering event. So a relatively minor thing triggers an enormous amount of unhappiness in whatever form.
That's right. A small thing happens and you flare up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so then, and after a while, you realize the kind of situation that triggers your pain body. And then you can be actually more vigilant when such a situation happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're able to bring consciousness into the body, you can more easily feel an arising emotion inside you, whether it's a very heavy emotion of sad, deep sadness, or whether it's a fiery emotion of anger, or whatever it is, or the emotion of intense fear, that contraction. There's so many people these days who are completely out of touch with their emotions because they live only in the head. So being able to feel an emotion as it arises and then recognizing it as the beginning of the pain body, my pain body.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you know this is the pain body, you are not identified with it, because the knowing is the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that doesn't happen is that the pain body cannot control your thinking, because you're shining the light of consciousness on it. It cannot then creep into your mind and suddenly make your mind think what it wants to think.
Mm-hmm.
So remain there as the awareness for it and say, oh, there's the pain body. Then it cannot renew itself, and it also cannot control your behavior, your actions. All it is that you have contained it, not through holding it down. You have contained it there through your presence.
In my mind, I'm a ghost, a spirit walking amongst you. I see that which escapes your attention, not because you are incapable, not because your eyes do not function, but because you have never wanted to see. Have you? To know. To know about the world in which you are living, where you are now existing, in your journey to find yourself. You've blinded yourself. You've blinded yourself to the gifts, the talents, the blessings, and the opportunities that have always surrounded you. You frame your dedication to your needs, your desires, your trials, your tribulations as what you need to succeed. And in that me-tocracy, you have used others as a means to your end. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? You have left near carnage in your passage, stepping on, around, and over those who, through their thoughtless acts of being, were perceived as obstacles in your path. Well, so often we have excused it as a folly of youth, but you're not the young up-and-comer anymore, are you? Your means is now your end. You are alone with your success, and while others might wonder if you are fulfilled, you will forge on, forever climbing mountains of your own creation, never looking back and never stopping to relish the view from your vantage, the advantage that is you. You are the hamster on the wheel, moving with speed and with accuracy, but never really moving forward, not in the way that ultimately matters. Was I addicted to drama? God, yes! You might say that. I used to be a professional actor, for God's sakes, and at some point, I forgot that the drama belonged on the stage and not in my day-to-day life. I had suffered 3 years, if not more, of non-stop made-for-TV drama. I am not kidding. Deep betrayal, by friends, cheating by someone that I loved. I was the victim of cyberstalking. I had my life threatened. I was the victim of identity theft, where the people that stole my information rented an apartment in my name. The police wouldn't do anything about it.
My mom had a brain aneurysm. My dad had a heart attack. I was emotionally abused by an unstable boss. I was laid off from a job where I was, for all practical purposes, a star performer, made them lots of money. And you know, that was the thing that did it. The layoff was an awakening. My ego was so shocked that I, the model employee, could be let go. I mean, how could that possibly be? How could they function without me? So this was so bothersome to me that I didn't sleep for about 10 days. And one night, the only way I can describe it is a click went off in my head. And I took out a piece of paper and I wrote down categorically all the things that had happened to me over the previous 3 years, more than I'm stating here, if you can believe it. It was crazy. And I realized something. The only common denominator was me. God damn. Now, this was not to say that other people were not responsible for their actions. It was not to say that I was deserving of their behavior. It's not to suggest that I was not victimized. In some ways, I was. It was simply a realization that my life is cause and effect. All of our lives are cause and effect. What you focus your thoughts, words, actions, time, and attention on is what you will get more of. Because in the universe, the language of the universe is yes. There is no no. It is all attraction. So you have to decide what you will feed and nourish in your life. And let me tell you, I was tapped into drama and negativity. I was bathing in it. I was fed by it. Though most of that was unconscious, I had to learn to be aware and to change the station. And once I did, my life was transformed. Suddenly, those who had a penchant for drama and trouble, they just fell away. Amazing.
Stop existing. Start living. Take the pill. Side effects reported include increased consciousness, heightened awareness, unlimited gratitude, and unbridled joy. People have reported uncontrollable tapping, singing in elevators, and dancing with abandon from listening to the pill. Live the life that you were meant to live. Take your prescription for success. Listen to Mark Warren in The Pill Daily.
Do you want peace or drama?
Yes.
You say we all want peace. There's no one who doesn't want peace, yet there's something else in you that wants the drama, wants the conflict. And whenever you're moving in the drama, you can, as we all can, I think now, a little bit anyway, detach from the thought, see yourself having the thought, recognize that you, the I of I am, is the awareness that you're having the thought. When you can see all the drama, just detach a little bit, you've done what?
That's the vital thing, to see it in the midst of it, to suddenly become aware that this is an old pattern in you,
yeah,
an ego pattern in
right.
you. It may not even stop immediately, but at least there is a witnessing presence in the background.
Yeah. That the ego wants to complain, the ego wants to be resentful, the ego wants drama.
Yes. And
yeah.
to see that in oneself,
one
could call that almost, there is in humans something that we could call the addiction to unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
When you are unhappy for whatever reason, once you are trapped in that energy of unhappiness, you don't want to get out.
That's right, because your ego loves it.
Yes. So there is an addiction to the, you actually, on some level, you enjoy your unhappiness. And when you can become aware of that,
mm-hmm.
then suddenly you're stepping out.
Hi, I'm Doreen Virtue, author of the book, Don't Let Anything Dull Your Sparkle. This book is based upon scientific and psychological research about why, when we're beings of divine light, and we are meant to have lives of joy, why we get thrown off the path sometimes. because it seems like life has always got something going on, and we're waiting for that peaceful moment when there's no drama and no negativity, but that just doesn't seem to happen. My background in psychotherapy, where I've done a lot of research about the physiology and the psychology of why we get hooked into dramatic relationships and situations that have a lot of negativity and drama, even though we protest that we don't like drama. You know, there's a highly addictive physical component to drama. It literally bathes our brain and our body with feel-good chemicals, and it can be just as addictive as any other drug that someone gets hooked on. There's also psychological components to drama addiction, which can include that you get to procrastinate working on your purpose while you're fixing someone else's issues, or you're going to get sympathy. You're going to get this feeling like you're high, like you're needed, like you're contributing to the world if you get into that dramatic situation and try to fix it. Trouble is, it has a debilitating effect upon our emotions and our bodies. Drama is very aging because of the stress chemicals that your brain and your body are flooded with, where you have that fight or flight response. Drama and stress can even lead to weight gain, particularly around the stomach area. If you are hooked on drama, you might feel like you don't have enough time for yourself. And that's because you probably don't. Drama takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, and it can be very anxiety and even depression producing. Did you know that yoga can actually increase your stress level if it's a high competitive and intense workout? That's right. We've actually found from scientific studies that it's gentle and restorative, shorter classes of 35 minutes that can lower your stress chemical level and help you to stretch away stress and feel like yourself again, the true you that's joyful, that's peaceful, that's sparkly. So please don't let anything dull your sparkle, and come with me on this journey of learning exactly what you can do to reduce the addiction to drama and to welcome positive energy into your life.
This is The Pill, your daily dose for what ails you.
Hello, this is Mark.
What's up, Mark? This is Nahi Bakker from the Nahi Bakker Experience. First of all, I just want to say I really enjoy listening to your channel. To be honest, it's very trippy and just puts a lot of things into perspective. Very meta. Love it. So humor me on this. You talk a lot about, you know, pain relieving and letting it go and being addicted to drama. Well, you know, I personally have done a bit of self-reflection recently, and I realized I'm more of a wartime general than anything. Like, I enjoy the conflict. I love the conflict and the high that I get off successful conflict resolution. A lot of my peers on the flip side would characterize that as I seek out drama so I could fix it even though I don't need to. So would you characterize me as being addicted to drama?
Hello, Nahi. Thanks for listening and especially for calling in. I'm really glad that you're enjoying what you're hearing today. Well, I don't know you, so, you know, I could not begin to conclude on an answer. It sounds like you might have a healthy skill set, and you are one of those people that enjoys getting in there and resolving conflict. I get that. I share that passion, partially because I am a problem solver, both by nature and by profession. So for me, though, the key phrase in your call was the characterization of others that you seek out drama where you don't really need to, or seek out conflict where you don't really need to. As part of that self-reflection process that you're utilizing, I would ask yourself, is this true? Am I interceding in situations where I have not been invited? Am I asking if help is needed before I jump in and begin this process? You mentioned that you get a high from doing it. Now, I can't make any assumptions about you, naturally, but I will say that for some people, that high
of helping other people is a valuable distraction from attending to one's own life, because you can push aside the things in your life that really should have your attention and hide in the conflict of others, in your gift of being able to save them from their misfortune, so that at the end of the day, you feel a sense of success and achievement, even if it is not aligned with your own vision and your own goals for your life. So for me, I would back it up to this. Way back. What is my vision for my life? What are the steps that I need to take to bring that vision to fruition? And am I doing that? Turn the focus back to yourself. Now, you know, if conflict resolution is your thing, if that's your passion, there's a path for that. You know, there, God knows we need good people in that area. But on that path, that is offered and elected. It is not forced upon those that are in need, regardless of how much they need it. Listen, this is a big challenge for me. I fall into this trap all the time because I have such a desire to help. And when I see a problem and I feel like I can really help, I want to get in there. But that's not always the honorable thing to do. It's always important to hold yourself accountable and to honor other people for their desires, and to really continue turning that attention to yourself. Before I solve other people's conflicts, let me make sure that I'm solving all of mine effectively first. I hope that is an adequate answer to your question, and I really appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Hey, Mark. So I want to tell you that I got your call in, so I'll respond and post it in a little bit. But I actually wanted to respond to another segment on your station about the pain body. I definitely think that that's fascinating, because I think it's definitely true that there's a part of us that desires to feel pain. And I don't know what that is, although as someone who has dealt with self-harm and stuff like that, trigger warning, sorry, I should have said that beforehand. But yes, as someone who has dealt with that, I know that, like, at least when it comes to situations of self-harm, it is in a way to feel alive, quote unquote, or to distract from another form of pain. So I don't know about the pain body, but like, I think that that's an interesting thing, and I definitely know that it's a real thing, even just from personal experience. So thank you for sharing.
Hey, Tessie, thanks for taking the time to listen and for calling. I love it. Thank you. And yes, Eckhart Tolle's work is really fascinating, so I highly recommend it if it piques your interest, either The Power of Now or A New Earth. He speaks about the pain body in both, actually, which is the concept that I find the most fascinating of his, but he really provokes a lot of thought, which I always love. And for any of you listening who are not yet following, listening, or have not yet favorited Art Speaks Radio, make sure to do so, because it's really a delight and a great variety of material. Poetry, songs, everything.
Hey, Mark. I think what Tessie said about using pain to mask other pain could be quite apt in this, you know, the whole dialogue, you know, that we've been talking about with the, you know, bullying and addiction to drama and just all of these things, is that, you know, it's painful being alive and being, feeling vulnerable and not knowing whether or not you're in or out of the tribe in this contemporary culture. It's, and you know, which means life or death. Like, if you're not, like, in, if you are an outsider, like, that is, it's terrifying. So yeah, I think that we use these kind of petty dramas to disguise all kinds of pain, about personal pain and pain of the human experience, I think.
Hey, Lulu, thank you for the call. There could be a number of reasons, right? I am no expert. I do know this. And that is, the experience of our life is more about our response to the conditions and circumstances of our life than it is about the actual circumstances and experiences. That was a lot of words. I hope that made sense. So I think that we have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for. Sometimes we just surrender as if we are helpless and simply victims, when most of the time that is not the case. People often confuse feelings with truth. You know, you may feel helpless, you may feel overwhelmed, but that doesn't mean that you are. The feeling is real, but that doesn't mean that it's true. That's a whole other conversation. Anyway, thanks for the call.
Wow, Mark Ward. You know, I've been suffering from some mental conflict in my head yesterday and today, and I'm running through it with my ADHD brain, trying to figure out ways to get around it. And I did some stuff, like I sent emails for work conflict. And then I just thought a minute ago, I thought, you know what, go to The Pill, go to Mark Ward Station and just listen to what he's got to say. He's always got really soothing, beautiful stuff going on his station. And everything that you've got on here today about creating drama and conflict in your life, I'm like, boom, Georgie D, there it is. You know this stuff already. You listen to Eckhart Tolle. You think about whether things are true or not. And I think I lean too much towards, you know, the Eckhart Tolle thing. If you can't change the situation you're in, then you have to change the way you think about it. I think I go for the action too quickly. And that just creates more drama, right? And the victim stuff, wow, you're speaking my language, buddy.
Georgie D, thank you so much for listening, and what a kind thing to say. I really appreciate it. So maybe the message today was for you, a reminder of that which you already know, which is really what the design of this whole station is supposed to be about. And I know, if no one else, sometimes when the words are crossing my lips on the segments that I do myself, it's a reminder to me, if nobody else. So I'm glad it was a good reminder for you. Thanks again.
Mark, my friend, how are you? I'm calling in regarding your response to the caller, Nahi Bakker. And you picked up on something incredible, something amazing. I love the way that you took the time to set the stage, to set the tone, to make no assumptions, but yet still offer information for consideration. It was very, very powerful, the way that you expressed yourself and with the suggestion that you offered about what Nahi can look at. And the key components I think you spoke about specifically was, is this a distraction from your own life? And in making others feel better, you don't have to focus so closely on your own. I loved it. It was powerful.
Oh, thank you.